What is that?
Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League
school. Welcome to Philosophy.
What's up, guys?
What up, guys?
Welcome back to another episode of Philosophy.
In the house.
We are here in the studio, in the actual studio, Iki. Instead of just being in your bedroom, which sounds a little weird, we are in the studio.
Wow. Yeah, it's been quite of an upgrade. It was usually in my bedroom or in the gym, in whatever corner we could find silent enough, right?
Yep. So we hope that you guys are going to enjoy this quality today.
Yep.
Anyway, let's kick off right into it. Iki, what are we talking about today?
So we haven't decided what we're going to talk about, but one of the few things is, first one is why it took so long for us to put another podcast out.
Oh, man.
It's number one. Number two, we can talk about injuries and how we missed jiu-jitsu to begin with. And number three, like, I guess our growth, I guess, and a few learning lessons.
Definitely. Okay, let's hop right into it. Let's address the elephant in the room. Where have we been? So I'll start it off. I'll give my excuses, and then you can give your excuses. I think it's been hard for us to put out too much content lately. We've both been traveling. That's no excuse. I know you've been back in Mozambique. I've been in the States. We've both been going through some injuries, and just overall lack of motivation to do things outside of jiu-jitsu. I think we've both been, well, at least I'll speak for myself. I've been focused on recovery and getting my body back into somewhat of a decent shape. It's never in great shape to begin with, but getting back to a state where I can actually train again, that I haven't had much motivation to do any podcasts. I don't know about you.
Yeah, same, man. Like, so in my last competition, I think that was last year, I competed again this past weekend, but my last competition, I hurt my shoulder, like, on
that.
The first fight. So pretty much I couldn't train for 2 months, and that sucked, but it didn't suck because I was traveling as well. So,
yeah.
And then I got time to heal and watch a lot of videos, tutorials and stuff, and just think about jiu-jitsu, but we didn't get him a lot of time to, like, record a podcast and everything else. But yeah, we're back, you know, and all we have is this moment and whatever comes after. So guys, we're very happy to have you here with us.
I hear that. Yeah, that was a crazy tournament experience. Yeah, that I remember you were just savage with it. The guy locked on a Kimura and you were just like, no, not today. I'm not going down like that.
Yeah, I didn't tap. And
what was going on in your mind in that moment? Like, you must have known that it was bad.
So when I went into it, I was like, this is the day where I'm going to take people down. And I went for a single leg. I had the single leg, but he caught me on a Kimura. And rather than change your positions, I insisted on a single leg. And I kept going for that, and he kept going to cranking the Kimura.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's tough. I feel like, yeah, that's a pretty common counter to the single leg is the Kimura. Yeah. It's like one of the main dangers. So that's unfortunate. Yeah. I got injured as well, unfortunately, as you know. But I'll share with the audience. I tore my MCL. Hey, it picked up a grade 2 MCL tear.
How?
Oh, there's a guy in our gym called Ollie. I know Ollie's listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll publicly shame him.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I don't blame any of my training partners for any of my injuries, because that's just the way my luck is. Every 3 weeks or so, I'm going to pick up an injury, so I can't really blame my training partners.
That's fine. Also, like, you are someone who always warms up.
always.
Especially that day of that injury, you were so, like, you know, you made sure you warmed up, like, 30 minutes before class.
That was it. And so I didn't just jump into sparring.
It is definitely nobody else's. It's like, you know, like, it's just the universe.
Yeah.
Nothing related to warming up.
To be fair, on that universe kick, it's like, it sucks every time I injure myself,
yeah.
but I really do grow mentally every time I injure myself. Like, I come back with this mental toolbox of things that I want to do. It really sucks, don't get me wrong. Injuries suck, and I'm still, my knee is still nowhere near where it should be. But I'm back training again, and all the things that I've kind of held in my mind for the past 6 weeks, I'm so excited to let them out and let them experiment with them. Like, a lot of different positions and submissions I've been thinking about, and I'm ready to, like, finally see if it works. I've played them over and over in my head, and now it's time to see what's good with them.
Actually, that's really interesting. Last year, you got a lot of injuries, and one thing I learned from seeing how you dealt with the injuries was on your time off, you actually blocked time to study, and you didn't just block time. You kept your journal, and you'd write down the technique. So even when you came back, you'd always come with something something specific that you wanted to improve on. You took that time to think about what you're doing and not just think on your head, but think on paper, right?
Yeah,
so,
100%. Yeah, I think that was an interesting thing I did with my last injury. Not so much with this one, although I probably should have. With my last injury, you're right, I made a lot of graphs and charts and things. I'm a nerdy guy, if you can't tell by listening to this thing long enough. But I'm a pretty nerdy guy, and that's how I like to learn. I see things, like, visually. I need to, in order to really learn it, I like to see it in front of me. I'll write it down. And so I studied a lot of different videos, and I would make graphs as to different positions and where the different positions lead to, this and that. And so even though I was out for maybe, like, 6 weeks, it felt like I wasn't out at all because I was studying. And when I came back, it felt like I had been training. So that was super crazy. Even now, I've been out for 8 weeks now with this MCL injury. I came back on last Friday, and I trained really well. Like, by my own standards, I guess, I felt really good about it. Like, I was able to pull off a lot of things. And that's zero jiu-jitsu for 8 weeks.
Yeah, I guess it's like, in a way, it's like, it's going to sound so corny, but it's like, when you leave the gym, it's like jiu-jitsu is kind of like still happening. Because it's like, I was thinking, remember, I think we were talking about this, about, I was noticing how there are certain things that happen in a jiu-jitsu class that kind of force you to learn. Like, for example, you're only focused on that experience. When you're training, you don't have your phone, you don't have anything. It's just like for that 1 hour, that's what you're going to focus on.
Yeah.
You have camaraderie, like friends and people you like, and they're yeah, I do. I like you guys
okay.
that train with me. Well. It's just like the rewards and the risks of losing are so big. So, like, those are a few of the things that are there. But afterwards, like, you feel good and it makes you wanna come back. But it's interesting that you kind of created an environment outside of like the mats to like be like, oh shit, what am I actually doing?
Yeah.
Why do I do this? Why do I do that? And when I got injured, that was one of the things I did, which was watch a lot of videos of people standing up, making sure that things are closed and stuff like that. So when I came back now as well, I was more cautious of that. And that made me feel comfortable enough to sign up for a new competition, even though I wasn't 100%. I didn't feel 100% physically ready. So, but it came from that, like thinking and writing down my thoughts about jiu-jitsu.
I think that's something that a lot of people neglect in their jiu-jitsu is the learning aspect. They think that just because they show up to class once or twice a week, which in my opinion is nowhere near enough to get even decent at jiu-jitsu, they think that, like, just because I've done that, think about it, it's 2 hours out of an entire week. Think about how many hours there are in a week, and you're spending 2 hours on a skill you'd like to develop. It's not going to get you very far. But they neglect as well the mental aspect of things. It's like, you have to go home, you have to think about these things like you would any other subject. If you wanted to get good at math, it's not about just showing up and taking a test. It's about studying before you take the test. And that's what I consider my at-home time, where I'm watching videos and writing down. I'm studying. When I come into the gym, I'm taking, like, a quiz, whereas a competition is like a test. And, yeah, you wouldn't just show up to a quiz or a test without studying.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess it's like I guess it's like a hidden benefit of jiu-jitsu. It's like you learn to learn the way if paying attention.
Definitely. I think, and if you look at a lot of guys in jiu-jitsu and girls, a lot of them are nerds. Like we talked about this on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the guys that I like a lot, I'm not saying all guys in jiu-jitsu are nerds, and some of them have probably developed the skills without being nerdy. But a lot of the guys that I look up to in jiu-jitsu are true nerds. I think if you were to spend a lot of time with them outside of the training environment, you would probably see how nerdy they actually are. And I think that's what's contributed to their success is their desire to study and grow mentally, not only physically. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially because, like, and most of those guys have the thing of maybe not being the athletically gifted or something like that. That's what they had to rely on.
100%. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say without actually being able to say it. So you nailed it on the head.
Wow, I can't give me any credit, man.
I know, right? And I think that's why I personally love jiu-jitsu so much, is that I'm never going to be the most athletic guy in the room. I'm never going to be the strongest guy in the room. But maybe I'll be able to, like, mentally beat someone, trick them, by using my smarts in an athletic way. Not that I'm the smartest guy in the room either, but I probably have a better chance at that than being the strongest.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who is someone that you like in jiu-jitsu?
Ollie. You know Ollie?
Yeah. I was talking about the nerdy guys.
Oh, the nerdy guys.
Yeah.
There's a few guys that I like.
Yeah.
What about you?
I kind of like the guys that are, like, crazy.
Yeah, yeah, you don't
but
like...
But not, I'm kidding. It's like, it sounds like, the thing is, I think it's not necessarily nerdy or not, but I think there is a difference between someone that fights well and someone that teaches well. And a lot of the guys that I watch fighting, maybe the ones that I love the most are not the ones that I learned from the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially, like, concepts. Like, I learned, for example, one of my favorite fighters is Rodolfo Vieira. But I learned more from watching what he's doing, trying to copy and see what he's doing. Like, why is he breaking the grips like that? Why is he doing this? And try to understand like that. But in terms of explaining, I mean, I actually like Bernardo Faria a lot. I think he explains very well. Yeah, he explains very well. The Mendes bros. Mm-hmm. Like, they explain super well, simple, in terms of famous people, right? But, like, at our gym, I find our coach, Manchinha, now, he does, like, something really cool, which at first, I was like, oh, man, I don't want to get put on the spot like this. But it's when explaining a technique, saying, why am I putting my hand here? Why am I putting my, and, like, having us answer that, I realize that later on when I'm rolling, that is slowly getting more inside my head of, like, why am I actually putting my hand on the hip and not on the leg, and, like, thinking more about those things. So
totally. And I feel like we've even been through this when you and I flow roll. I think, like, maybe in your early days when you would ask me, like, oh, what is flow rolling, I would kind of say it's rolling, but I think you should have this principle always, but more so when you're flow rolling. Every single movement you make should be with purpose, and should have a plan for every single movement.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. This is, like, something weird, man. Like, I feel like a little bit like I'm becoming a little professional because, like, created a new studio, but, like, the TV's on and they keep, it's, like, behind you. So, like, every time I look at you, I just see, like, coronavirus. and actually, like, this is so off topic. But as I noticed today, I was in the gym, and during MMA class, Jeremy made, like, a very good comment about, like, man, we, like, the type of training we do, we are literally, like, surrounded by germs all the time.
Totally.
So make sure you wash your hands every time. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, the amount of hands we shake, the parts of, like, people's bodies we touch that are sweaty. Oh, shit. Sorry. That's not what I meant. But you get it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
No, you're 100%.
Correct. That was completely off topic, though. But it's just like...
It's off topic, but it needs to be said.
Yeah.
So all you gross people out there who are not sanitizing your hands, taking showers right after training, get with it, especially now with all this craziness happening out there. It actually kind of freaked me out a little bit, this coronavirus business.
But, like, it is scary. It's a little bit scary.
Yeah. It is what it is, man.
Yeah. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen, but just make sure you're safe.
Let's talk about this weekend. That's the most exciting thing we have to talk about.
Yes. Yeah.
So this weekend we were competing.
No, you were competing. I wasn't competing.
Yeah, like I guess we, I meant we, because it wasn't just me from the gym. It was me and some other, and many of our training partners.
Yep.
And someone I train with all the time is Ollie. So as soon as I came back to the gym, he was like, "Hey man, there is London Open this weekend. Are you coming?" I said this with a British accent, by the way. And I was like, "Maybe." He's like, "Come on, man. Why are you being such a sissy?" I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna come." So much. I sign up. By the way, like, I leave the gym. Ollie's like, "I'm gonna check on you." The moment I step out, I receive a text. So you signed up. I'm like, yeah, like I signed up right there and then. And then it dawns on me. What have I just done?
Yeah.
Like, I have zero cardio.
And it's not just like, I feel like the London Open, it's not just a random tournament.
Exactly.
It's a big tournament. It's legit. Like, the guys who come there, some of them probably have even traveled from different European countries to be there.
But then, here's the thing also, like, I think in the moment, at the heat of the moment, that day I had good rolls. First day, come back, I'm like rolling. Like, it's just been like yesterday was the last day I rolled. And I'm like, yeah, man.
You know? So it motivated you?
Hmm?
So it motivated
you? No, I was just delusional. And then, and then I'm like, yeah, man, I got this. Ollie's like, yeah, I think you got it too, bro. You should sign up. I was like, yeah, I should sign up. And then I go, I sign up.
Ollie does that. Ollie can get you, like, he can get you going.
Yeah, yeah. And like, he's like looking at you. And you know, like, how British people, they sound serious?
Yeah.
I think you should sign up.
He's like, man, terrible. That's terrible.
I know, I didn't want to do it. I'm like, I'm sure now. It's 3 weeks to the tournament, bro. Some personal problems in my life.
Mm.
I'm not like my emotions are going up and down off the mat.
Real life stuff.
Yeah. And man, I can't concentrate. Like, I'm in class and like I'm listening to like the music on the background.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the ceiling and then I look at Ollie and he's like super focused. Like, yeah, man, that's what I should be doing. And then I'm like, yeah, trying, and coming. Ollie and I are, like, always training on the side. Everybody I can get access to, blah, blah. But as soon as I leave, my life is, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
It's 1 week now. I turn to Galinho. Galinho is a brown belt at a gym. And it's like, hey, Galinho, man. And he's a coach. He's like, Galinho, man, do you think they give your money back? at IBJJF's like, no, they don't, bro. You gotta fight.
Okay.
Like, and I was like, I'm not sure. It's like, bro, you're not sure today, but on the day you might be sure. By the way, like, I'm just having like such a hard time even getting off of bed to face the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, maybe next weekend I'm good.
Yeah.
Next weekend comes. I'm like, holy shit. My man John Jitsu texts me, hey, bro, we're gonna go together, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm ready. I'm about to come out. I'm nervous, super nervous. I sit down, I meditate a little bit. I'm like, okay, I can go. And I read this poem. I'm not going to read the poem now. It's like this really beautiful poem. And then I was like, yeah, I'm ready, man.
So that got you fired up, that poem?
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'm ready. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fight, bro. I am shitting my pants. And then, like, I'm literally...
Let me tell you what happened then. And then you get a text from me, right?
Yeah.
Day of.
That was before. That's after you texted me.
All right. So I texted you and I said, let's meet at 2.
Yeah.
Or 2:30 maybe it was.
Yeah, 2:30. So we were supposed to meet at 2:30. I go to the place and I get lost, right? And so I'm nervous. I'm lost. And I also, like, I feel like I can't trust my cardio, man. This is like in the back of my mind the whole time. And I'm still thinking about a million other problems that have nothing to do with what I'm going to do. I get to the, I eventually
we meet.
Yep.
And we meet at 3 o'clock rather than 2:30.
And what time were you scheduled to fight? Like 4:30, right?
Nah, my fight was at 4:41.
Okay.
But the fights kept moving.
I've never seen this in my entire life. That was the strangest thing. So Iki and I were on the train. Sorry if I'm cutting you off here, but I'm continuing on your story. Yeah, okay. So Iki and I were on the train to Crystal Palace, which is where the event takes place every year. And we're about 2 stops away, and Ollie texts us and says, we were probably, 2 stops away at 3:40.
Yeah.
And Iki was supposed to be fighting at 4:41. I've never seen in all my days a tournament be early. I've seen it be on time very rarely.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of the time, they're late. They're always late. So anyway, we get a text from Ollie saying, Iki, they're calling your name. I've never heard of such a thing. And we're 2 stops away when we get this text.
So I'm like, so that means it was about 40 minutes earlier than it was supposed to be.
Yep.
No, actually an hour, because 40 minutes, yeah. Anyways, doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm late.
If you're not early, you're late.
So now I'm stressed that I'm thinking about a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with what I'm going to do. And then John Jitsu's like, nah, man. I think you're going to get in time. We get there, you just run. Like, from the moment the train stops, you run. You keep running, you run, you get there.
I thought he wasn't going to make it, to be honest with you. But I just wanted to tell him that anyway.
And Ollie's like, yeah, bro, I'm really worried, man. Make sure you're on time. Make sure you come. Where are you? He's like, keeps texting me. And I'm like, flip it. Because the worst thing is, like, if you don't show up, for me, that's, like, unacceptable.
Yeah, that's really bad.
So I'm like, okay, we get off the train. I start running. I'm starting to get tired, like, running. John Jitsu has, like, a knee injury, and he's running faster than me. Come on, Iki. I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, I can't really trust my cardio. And then we get there. I change. I'm ready. I'm about to go. And the guys are like, sorry.
Yeah, I remember this.
You can't use your gi, because my gi had, like, a small scratch. I'm like, what do you mean I can't use my gi? She's like, you can't. By the way, my fight is in 8 minutes. I haven't warmed up. I'm still like,
no warm up at all.
Yeah, at all. Like, I mean, I ran, but
that, yeah, but no.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my god, Jesus.
Yeah.
And I go back to the bench and with, as Manshinga would say, with a cara de bunda, like that means a an ass face. I'm like, hey guys, does anybody have an extra gi? The only person that has an extra gi is Patrick. And Patrick is shorter than I am. So that means the other thing is gis that are really short, like your pants have to be your size and your
length.
Your arm length. Your arm length has to be exactly for you. It can't be shorter because that's like cheating. Mm-hmm. The other guy has less thing to grab, and man, that thing is short. So I, of course, Patrick is like, come on, man, come on. First of all, he's like, no, I'm not going to bore you anything. Yeah, I'm not going to bore you anything.
Because
you have to learn a lesson. If you were here earlier, we would have gotten you a gi, and he was right. And
I had your back on that, though, didn't I?
Jesus was like, come on, Patrick, just this one time. It's really late, man. These things happen. Let's go.
I was like, you can tell him off after the fight. Just give him the gi, and then we can, give him shit for the rest of the day.
And Patrick says, don't you lose with this gi. I never lost with this gi, ever. I was like, oh, my God. No pressure. Just, yeah. And then I wear the gi. The pants look like shorts. And
it looked good on you, though. I'm not going to lie.
Here's what happened, though.
Yeah.
Patrick's like, come on, man. You gotta know how to do this. So, like, he puts my pants down. He tells me to pull the pants lower. So, and then, like, sort of like, and after that, it's just almost like shrink my shoulders a little bit. Like, yeah. How do you say it?
Shrug.
Like, shrug my shoulders. Yeah. It's like, yeah, just go, man. And cross your fingers now. I go, the lady, yeah, everything's fine. You can go. I go, get there. It's time to go.
They missed one little thing, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
In the check. Come on, keep going with the story.
Yeah, no, I go.
Yeah.
I'm ready. It's time to fight. First fight. I look at the guy that is in front of me. He looks stronger than I look. I'm scared. I'm like, thinking about my cardio.
He was like one of those stocky guys,
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was a little shorter than you, but like you could tell he was a strong dude.
So I thought, he's not going to pull guard. He's going to try to take me down, so I have to take him down first. And we shake hands. I'm about to go. The ref is like, stop, wait a second. Look, why? What's happening? What's happening? Did anybody get hurt?
We're all confused on the sidelines. We're like, what is going on?
He's like, you have your... How do you call it?
They're called, in the jiu-jitsu world, they're called spats.
Yeah, you have your spats on. I'm like, I can't compete with spats. Like, oh, yeah, sure, you can't. Luckily enough, I had a pair of shorter spats or, you know, or underwear. And I run back to the stances.
But I've also, and this is the second thing that I've never seen before in my life, a match being stopped and they allow you to change your clothes
and then
come back and compete. I've never seen
that. Yeah, I thought they were going to disqualify me.
I thought so too.
And then I go up to the stances. I can't really go to the changing room, change, and then come back. So I'm changing there, and I put a towel around, you know, PG-13. Like, I put a towel around, and, like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to do it fast. And then an echo comes, like, hey, bro, chill. They're going to wait for you. Be calm, man. Be calm.
And first, then, you butchered Ollie's accent. Now you're butchering your neck.
I know. I tried.
I love it.
I tried to do like a Spanish accent.
Yeah.
Shout out to Aneko, though.
Yeah.
Aneko's like, chill, bro. They're going to wait for you. Just got to change. I'll help you. And he grabs my bag, like, you know, like, and I'm like still freaking out. And then Galinho is coming. I don't know where he's coming from. But he just comes out of nowhere. From like, hey, heavens. Iki, how are you doing? This is the first time we see each other. He's like, hey, Iki, how are you doing? You seem stressed. I was like, yeah, they're waiting for me. Oh, my God, blah, 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 blah. I was like, Iki, chill. Galinho's like, Iki, chill. Take a deep breath. Meditation. This is because he told me this before the training. This is meditation. Your mind will wander. It will tell you good things. It will tell you bad things. Don't believe it. Just be here right now. Right now. Come on, four in, four out. Four in, four out.
Meanwhile, we're all waiting for you.
Ah, by the way, I'm doing this like I'm taking my pants off, like my butt cheeks are out, blood in the public under the towel, and then I'm putting my, like, I'm doing this so as fast as I can. And 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And Galinho's like, okay, Iki, remember, why are you here? It's like, because I love jiu-jitsu. That's it, man. That's it. So you love jiu-jitsu, you go there, you play your jiu-jitsu. You go do what I love. What do you love? You love to grab that lapel and take the other guy to the floor. You don't wait. You go do what you love, right? Monday, if everything goes well, if goes wrong, it's all good. We're gonna roll. We all love you. You love us. It's all good. We're gonna learn, and that's what's up. Now, four in, four out. Chill. All you have is right here, right now. Don't think about the next fight. Don't think about the next move. Just go and do. Keep going forward. And that's it. You can't control anything else.
Well said, Galinho.
Man, some Karate Kid shit. I'm calm. I'm in the moment. I'm present.
Yes.
Ding. I go back into the
chapter
thing.
Chapter 4.
I go back. Actually, I forgot his name, but he's from Greece. The guy is fighting, and he's
Constantine,
right? Yeah. And he's focused. He's looking into my eyes. I'm looking into his eyes, and I can see the eyes of a man with a purpose in front of my eyes, and I can hear from the sidelines our coach screaming,
"Iki, que porra é essa, Iki? Que porra é essa? É isso, cara. É isso. Focado."
Pretty much telling me to stay focused and to attack first. And I go, I do exactly as we train, do the sweep that I like, control the leg, side control, hold side control. He caught a half guard, pressure on the face, passed the half guard. I look at the score and it's 6-0. And I was like, damn, homie.
High school, you was the man. No.
It's like this morning you couldn't even, you were like, gotta go compete. So I was like, oh, this is good. So just hold this, put him in guard, and that's it. In my mind, when I left my home that day, I was like, I'm just not gonna not show up. That's unacceptable.
Mind you, we were all
just from the sideline perspective, we can go back to in the moment, yeah, the actual story here. But just to give you like a little perspective, all of us on the sideline, we were losing it. We were actually losing it. Because going out there, we were like, there is no way that Iki is in like the right, you know, frame of mind to win this. At least that's how I was feeling. I wasn't going to show you that. I wasn't going to say that to you. But I, in my mind, I was like, I got a bad feeling about this. Like, Iki doesn't look good right now. And then you go out there and you're just smashing it. And we're all like, oh my God.
Yeah. And that fight went well eventually. Went well. I was surprised.
Everybody was surprised. What was going in your mind when you hit that takedown and then you end up in side control? Like, what's going on in your mind?
To keep it 100?
Yeah.
I was just in the present moment. Like, after like what Galinho said, like, the meditation analogy was really good. Because, I love me some meditation. So that was, like, that made sense for me. And I was really calm. Because, like, even when I was waiting for my name to be called, I went to the side and I closed my eyes and I was meditating and just, like, being in the present moment. And, yep, just being relaxed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that I struggle with. If I'm doing well in a fight, my mind starts to race. It's like I start to worry about losing my advantage. Does that happen to you at all?
Yeah. For example, one thing was at a point I got maybe too calm, and I was also not very confident. That I can't lie. Like, I think I was not confident at all. The first fight, I literally drew all the confidence from the fact that I knew that my team is here, so I'm not alone. It's like whatever belief they have in me right now, I'll use that as like whatever to pull me forward. Because, man, I'd rather be in bed right now. Just, you know. And but I was like, yeah. I was just like, that was like my fuel, you guys. And I kept fighting. And eventually, I passed, held so that fight went well. And that was a really nice fight. The aggression was something that was missing on that fight, and I noticed. And then the second fight also, very intense. Fun fact, I saw the other guy fighting a little bit while I was in the corner, and I saw that his game is very similar to mine. Mm. So I knew he was going to pull half guard. So I swept him first and didn't let him get half guard, passed, controlled. He almost swept me from side control, which is...
I have a heart attack every time, like, yeah, I feel your weight over, yeah, you know, overcompensating
and
overcommitting.
Yeah, like, and that's when I started getting too excited. I was I was overcommitting, and I got back to a dominant position and also won that fight. And then, as I'm coming out, Manchinha, our coach, it's like, that's it, motherfucker. Now, you just gotta wait. You just gotta win one more fight. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, you're in the final. I'm like, what? It's like, you're in the final. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so I didn't see that coming. It's final. The guy, I didn't see him fight at all. He looked taller than me, so I thought this guy's gonna pull guard.
Yeah.
And he'll probably try to catch me on a triangle. But I can't control that, so just attack first and go forward for whatever you feel confident with. Yep, and that's what happened. I went, I attacked, I'm passing his guard. Like, I'm doing everything by the book.
Yep.
One thing, before getting in, I'm like in this zen mode. And but she is like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck is this? You're being all zen right now.
Yeah.
You gotta slap yourself in the face. Violence.
Yeah. My favorite quote from Mancini this weekend was, white belts have no technique. It's pure violence.
Yeah. Like, I was trying to break this guy's half guard that he showed us for the past 2 weeks. And I'm trying to do that. It's like, Iki, don't do that. Don't do that. Violence. Put pressure on his face. Forget the technique. Forget the get the position. Forget it. And then I just go back to, like, putting pressure on his face with my shoulder. But, like, inside, I was like, oh, my God, this guy is unbelievable.
Mind you, it's all in Portuguese. So the guys you're fighting had no idea what...
And
And for a second, one of the referees was laughing like, this guy's unbelievable.
All the refs spoke Portuguese and they knew. And it was just hilarious.
Yeah, this guy's unbelievable. And then, but that energy was like what was helping me fight.
Yeah.
And then eventually the fight went well until this guy was so sleek, man. I really loved it. I actually been trying to do what he did on me. And I'm passing his guard from over under. He pulls out my lapel as soon as I pass his guard. He noticed, like, rather than trying to recover his guard, I was putting pressure on his hips, and he pulls out my lapel. I don't notice. Next thing I know, this guy's choking me.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, if I put my hand here, I'll have to let go of his hips. I try to put my hand here. I'm control. I went out. That was it. That was it. I went out. And I go out, and the ref is, like, waking me up. But, like, it all happens so quick that I'm on top of him, by the way. Yeah. In my head, I'm like, these are my points, right?
All things were going well in your favor, right? Like, you passed. You had established side control. And, unfortunately, he still had control of your lapel and was able to do some type of baseball bat choke variation, for those who don't know, on who are listening.
I saw the hand coming, and I thought, nah, it's not going to get in. I get it, and then as soon as I established the side control, I go out. And he said, the guy actually who choked me, he said, the ref also didn't notice. He was the one who said, hey, I think he stopped moving. So they start pulling us apart. The moment they start pulling us apart, I wake up. And I'm like, what happened? What happened? Hey, why are we stopping? The ref's like, you went out. I was like, I didn't go out. I'm trying to get up. And I just... slowly, like, remember that scene in Inception where the floor starts moving up and down? I was like, oh, okay, I'm having a Inception moment right now. Maybe I went out.
We were all so confused on the sideline because we didn't see. Yeah. You know, with the baseball bat choke, we'd be able to see both of his hands in your collar. It would be more visible. We honestly had no idea what had happened.
Because it wasn't like regular baseball, right?
No, definitely not.
But man, regardless, I admire that choke. I tried it on you on Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, right, and you just passed my guard.
Yeah.
It's cool. But then, so yeah, that was it. And he won the fight. Very well deserved. Caught me sleeping.
But still, man, like, that was one of the craziest tournament experiences. Like, that's going to be a story you're going to tell for a long time.
You know, the funny thing? It's like when Machine said, you're in the final. John comes to my ear and said, yeah, man, you just turned this shitty day into a great day, bro.
It's true. Like, I had no other... What was the... I've definitely said some, like, funny things to you in these moments. I feel like that's when my best material comes.
But I think you're not trying to be funny.
No, not at all.
You're like, yeah, man. Yeah, like, so that went well. And we got our medals. We took pictures. And I actually kept in touch. I always like to talk to people.
You always do that. So. I never understand it, but you always do it. It's cool, good, man. It's good vibes.
So, yeah, man. And that was dope. And then Monday, when Shingen said something really cool after the class, he said something that actually stuck to me in my head.
Congratulations.
Yes. But more than congratulations is the idea that, man, when you have a goal, most times, things are going to go wrong. Things are not going to go your way. And it's almost like you're in a cliff. And there are like two sides. Like, on the other side of the cliff is your goal. And in between, there is like, how do you say, an abismo? Like
an abyss.
An abyss, right? And you got to walk through this invisible
abyss.
Bridge.
Yeah.
Invisible bridge that only allows you to put one step at a time until you get to the other side. And the only thing that's going to make you get there is the faith that I can get there from here to there. And you just got to take one step and then the next step and then the next step. And you should not look down, because if you look down, you're going to be like, oh, shit, this shit is invisible, blah, 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 you fall. And then you have to get up and do it all over again. And maybe in one of those times you might not be able to come up again and do it over. So just make sure you focus on where you want to go, and you have to literally believe and not doubt yourself by any circumstances.
You ready for this? O medo não para a morte, o medo para a vida.
Wow.
Translate, please.
The fear doesn't stop
O medo não para a morte.
Não para. A morte. So, o medo não... Fear doesn't stop death.
O medo para a vida.
Fear stops life.
Isso.
2020, John Jitsu. So yeah, that was my weekend story in terms of what I learned. It's literally be in the moment, whatever it's in your mind, it's neither true or false. Just face whatever it's in front of you with courage when you fight, and yeah, you're never gonna be prepared. But I've trained before, so yeah. By any means, I should have, and also like on finals and any fight, never underestimate anything. Just be like, beware at all times, all times.
Always ready.
In the words of Nas, I never sleep, because sleeping is the cousin of death. So, yeah, never sleep, homie.
You know what I learned from watching you this weekend? I learned that you never know when your worst day is going to become your best day.
And also like, I think that was like, if I didn't have a team to support me and stuff like that, things could have gone very different. Mm. First of all, I wouldn't even have a gi.
That's true.
So yeah, like so your homies are what make you. Choose them wisely.
Damn. Full of deepness in this podcast.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, so guys, first of all, we're gonna come back with a series of interviewing
Different belt. We interviewed Galinho when he was a purple belt. Yeah. That's how long this podcast has been.
Yeah, man. So we've been tripping, actually. We should be recording more. And I was going to say something. If you listen to this, if you leave a comment, what would you guys like to know? What would you guys like to hear from us 2020? Leave us below also, like, what have you learned from jiu-jitsu recently?
Yep.
Tell
us about your competition stories.
Yeah, and what do you do when you're injured? Like,
yep.
Also, another thing I wanted to know, it's how do you guys balance? Because this is something two things I want to interview people about. So one is like MMA, right? And street fight. How to get punched in the face and still do jiu-jitsu in those circumstances, when to fight, when not to fight in an altercation, something like that. In the streets, right? How does jiu-jitsu work in the streets? And second, it's how to mix lifting weights and, you know, just being summer ready. And at the same time, just being porrada ready.
Feel that.
Yeah, what about you, Johnny?
What do I want to know?
Yeah.
Like, where does consciousness come from?
Boom. Yeah, man. Okay, guys, thank you very much.
Hey, if you made it this far, thank you very much. Yeah. You guys are great.
Love you.
Peace out.
Girl Scouts.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Shalasa.